Pacifica Mission Inform Our News and Public Affairs Programming. Reva Antin.
Hi, thanks. I actually want to chime in a little bit on Gerald's two questions, too, and I'll try to squeeze it in. Just starting, a number of us spoke to Gus Newport after he left, and one of the more poignant moments was when he said, the saddest thing is how much better we can be. That's why we're here tonight. We need to be better. The state is winning. We need to be stronger. And that should not be a threatening concept, because that does mean change. In terms of the network, Gerald mentions that there are real similarities throughout the network in the local boards and difficulties. I have been following it. The difficulties are quite consistent and pervasive. Bill Mandel has said recently that, let me just back up a bit. Regardless of whether Bush really got 50% or under 50%, I don't believe he would have gotten as many votes as he did if people knew the truth, right? This week, we know how important independent media is. We are a threat to the status quo. So as Bill has said, the government would be remiss not to be trying to disrupt us. I have said it in similar ways. What I have said is that I've been following what's going on throughout the network since I've been on the board, and the patterns are so similar and pervasive that I consider it irresponsible not to consider the possibility of state involvement. I will go on record saying that. Now, it has been said that I have named names. I have never named names. I have never named names. But I think we need to be concerned and alert to that reality. This is the time that we're living in, let alone the fact that this time has existed for a long time. We are a threat. The government doesn't want us to be that threat. And then in terms of decisions at the network level, I've raised questions like, how do they make decisions about how they cover the Democratic National Convention, the Republican National Convention, the 9/11 Truth Commission? And when I ask questions, this is the national level, and I ask questions like that, and I often get the answer, Lord knows. My answer is, well, maybe the problem is I don't believe in the Lord. That's the network. In terms of the leadership of the board, local station board, I'm speaking as chair. I don't believe we've exercised the leadership we needed to. We're a governing board. We're the first governing board. And many of us have been on governing boards. I've been on governing boards. This one is a little different in that we were formed through a court settlement. We have our governing authority through a court settlement. And I agree with Gerald that there is some resistance to that concept. And some of that has even existed within the LSB. I think there's a hesitation and a resistance to exercise our authority and our leadership. And my role in that, I apologize. We had a parliamentarian who volunteered her time for two meetings and a couple of meetings with me personally, and she's been doing this for over 20 years. And after witnessing two meetings, one of which during a public comment period, a staff member showed a noose, after witnessing two LSB meetings, she wrote a memo to the board, the end of which said, this organization does not need a parliamentarian, it needs an expert in dysfunctional behavior. It's sobering. We need to get through the nastiness and the bitterness. I've experienced more nastiness in this capacity, and some of you might know, before this, I was working with lawyers. This is worse. That says something. I think we need to incorporate and live what we believe in the name of Lou Hill. Let's be more gentle with each other. Leadership of the board. Gerald mentioned Democracy Now. We passed that time change to implement program council. We had a four-month timeline. That's gone. No consequence. It hasn't even been on the agenda. I believe that there has been an abdication of our personnel role with the general manager. It's one of the roles that we have. We haven't exercised it. We're supposed to have an LSB show every month. We started. In the 5 months, we've had three. This month, I don't know that we have a date yet. More leadership is necessary to be sure that we do that. We're inadequately responding to listeners. Listeners email us responses. We don't have a mechanism to do that. I'm sure you guys feel like it's a black hole. I apologize for that. Program Council still feels unnecessarily closed to me. When there are personnel matters, there are personnel matters. But the local station board is not allowed to attend the Program Council. Until recently, we haven't had reports. There's been some question about how decisions get made in terms of programming. So I believe there needs to be more transparency in the Program Council and more integration between the Program Council and the LSB, even though we have two representatives on. All right, so now in terms of our mission and public affairs, it's clear that we live in critical times. Steve Zeltzer, some of you might know, said to me recently, I listen to Air America more than KPFA because at least Air America has outrage. KPFA doesn't have enough outrage. I think that's a simple critique. We need to be outraged. Except for Dennis. But then some people don't. Anyway, those of us currently on the board campaigned and to get elected, I would say that a majority of the listener representatives who got elected, myself included, campaigned on an explicit better news and increased public affairs programming. Now, it might be overstating it to say that's a mandate, but I thought that was part of my job to try to make that happen. And I'm telling you that as of now, I still don't even know what the mechanism is. That's what I want to talk about. It's not just complaining. We need to come up collectively with a mechanism to have these discussions. How does the change happen? How do we evaluate? And it's not there. And again, the same conversation with Gus Newport. He said one of the problems with KPFA is it's a culture, not a system. So it's kind of amorphous. There is a degree of patronage from if somebody's going on vacation, they give their slots to a friend. There's no mechanism to feed in new programming, even just for intermediate slots. I think it's important that we understand how change can be made and how evaluation can be done. I was going to read from the mission, but I think I don't want to take the time on that right now. Actually, James mentioned it somewhat. But the other thing that we have spoken of ourselves as is the voice of the voiceless. And I think that's a really simple way to say it. So, for example, I myself think that a lot of the public affairs now is authors. Authors aren't quite voiceless. You know, they're getting published and they're getting a readership, and I think we should promote books, but I think we need to expand what we mean by voiceless. But in terms of quality control, I do want to read this part from Matthew Lazar, and he's talking about when he was a volunteer in the KPFA news department in the 1980s. And he said, what I did see at the time were the best community radio minds of my generation lose faith in any kind of inclusive governance for Pacifica and its radio stations. How would a decentralized system of decision-making deal with ineffective programs and their hosts? Who would be authorized to ensure quality in a place where the rhetoric of free speech, identity politics, and workers' rights armored individual programmers with multiple layers of institutional autonomy? He goes on, I feel like we haven't really answered those questions yet, and that's a concern. One specific in terms of the news department, and I believe, again, democracy is about transparency and accountability. I had a conversation with Eileen Alfenderry, the co-anchor of the news department, several months ago, and I said that I consider our news department to the right of the Congressional Black Caucus because we don't even say that Aristide was kidnapped. She said she didn't think he was because he walked on the plane. Now, I don't even want to go to whether he was kidnapped. What I want to know is where those decisions get made and how we handle it. And where does news end and public affairs begin? Even recently, even Free Speech Radio News said recently Aristide was forced out. And I was waiting for the phrase, by the U.S. and the French governments. It's important that we have a mechanism to raise those questions. There is a new subcommittee which is raising some of these questions, but I believe there's inadequate progress. I don't understand how the editorial policy is. how it works. There are decisions about whether to handle 9/11 questions. The news department decided not to cover a 9/11 Truth Commission press conference highlighting what the Truth Commission left out. I don't think there's adequate coverage of this election fraud. I believe that this, you know, where is the mechanism? I think that's what we need to look at. And I believe we can do it because I believe everybody in this room knows how important this struggle is. And together, collectively, we need to do it. We actually have a sign up in the back. Let's have this be an organizing mechanism. We have to work together. I believe we can. Thank you.
Our next panelist is Bill Mandel, and he's asked me to read this this letter that was sent to him. And he's going to be, I'm going to read the letter, but before that, I want you to keep in mind the question. What have we learned about listener involvement, and also what about the banned and fired? This was a letter that was sent to Bill. I believe it was sent within the last few days. Dear Bill, while attending Fairfax High School in Los Angeles in 1959, I became a KPFK volunteer when it was a small suite of offices above a pharmacy on Melrose Avenue. While sweeping their floors, I heard your speech about HUAC, which energized me and made my hair stand on end. I became determined to join the revolution, went to Cal Berkeley in 61 and became thoroughly radicalized. I returned to UCLA and organized the first public draft card burning in Southern California in 67, et cetera, et cetera. Although travel and extended stays in Poland, Bulgaria, Hungary, and Yugoslavia, etc., convinced me that the Soviet communism had no answers to humanity's woes, I'll never forget the courage and focused brilliance of your confrontation with HUAC and your articulate defense of freedom of speech. For many years, I've enjoyed your reviews of the Soviet press and the periodicals, and was very sorry to hear that you are no longer with KPFA. I can't imagine why they fired you, but I'm sure it was a terrible mistake and an injustice. I give to you, Bill Mandel.
Until yesterday at noon, I thought I'd have 15 minutes. So I think I'm going to need James' extra 5 minutes. I'll read fast. KPFA listeners have always been interested in the station's internal affairs. During most of its history, other listeners and the station staff could learn about that interest from the letters column in the monthly folio it published. Comments about my own program were very common, and I always took them into consideration of future broadcasts. Once in a while, I would respond in the folio. Today, the folio no longer exists at this station or at KPFK and WBAI, which carried my broadcast for decades. My understanding is that this was on the recommendation of one of the innumerable consultants Pacifica has gotten into the habit of employing. The fact is that the greatness of these stations was established in the years we did have folios and when we did not have consultants. What sense would they make in stations that every day did things no other station would do, and therefore that no consultant could have any experience with? Obviously, I'm not speaking of engineering matters, in which technical knowledge is of the essence. Yet even there, the kind of engineers who wanted to work at Pacifica stations were people with the same boundless curiosity in their own field that the rest of us had in what we were broadcasting or whatever else we do to keep them operating. It is also a fact that KPFA and the other Pacifica stations have always had internal conflicts. The reason is simple enough. KPFA was founded by people who dissented from government policy sufficiently that they went to jail for refusing to fight in World War II simply because they would not agree to kill or be killed. It is inevitable that people with that strength of conviction would exercise that same quality in dealing with the problems that this entirely new kind of radio would experience, whether those problems were financial or in the realm of programming or organization or anything else. There is the grim reality that Lewis Hill, founder of KPFA, committed suicide when he was only 38. before the station was a single decade old. It is by now pretty well agreed that he took that course because of a combination of two factors, an exceptionally painful form of arthritis, and and the tensions of the struggle and the tensions of the, let me find myself here. Just a second. And the tensions of the struggle within the small group of people who, as comrades, had founded the station. He had resigned twice, he had fired others, and they had fired him. I can tell you that I lasted on the air for nearly four decades, not only because my subject matter was regarded as vital, and that I handled it in a manner that satisfied listeners. There was the further fact that I stayed out of the absolutely uninterrupted series of in-house conflicts that split the staff, burned it out, and caused people to be classified as belonging to faction A or B, or for that matter, C or D. So that you will understand that this was not kind of some inherent disease, may I point out that the issues are very often forced upon the station from without. In an era lasting nearly half a century, communism was used by the rulers of this country as the same kind of boogeyman that terrorism is presented today. Those of you who have seen the film KPFA on the Air will remember Lou Hill's wife telling her interviewer that there were lots of people who thought of KPFA as communist, because it made its microphones available to people who held dissenting views on all kinds of taboo subjects, such as homosexuality and lesbianism, or marijuana, or the FBI. It was impossible for a person of principle not to take sides on many issues, and I did, but only on those that seemed to me of overriding importance. For the rest, I would come to the station Monday evening, do my show following the news, and go home. Of course, at home, and in the university libraries, I read the newspapers, magazines, and books essential to my program, and did the research demanded by many of the letters from people involved in the struggles of people of color, of women, of labor, of gays and lesbians, of the disabled, and those based on the sheer curiosity of academics and professionals and plain folk of every conceivable occupation about how their interests were dealt with in the competing society. That was my focus. But when I did take sides in the conflicts that split the station, I found that invariably it was the listeners who restored peace. The most pleasant form was when an outside entity, or in the 90s, a gang of pirates who had captured the Pacifica board, found that somewhat over 7,000 listeners were willing to take to Berkeley streets in support of this radio station, something simply unknown in the world of radio here or abroad. That brought us all together, however briefly, or way back, when the staff, including unpaid staff, went on strike twice in a short span of years. One lasted a month.
You have 5 minutes left.
One lasted a month during which no broadcasting occurred. There was an increasing demand from the listeners for the station to return to the air. That resulted in a meeting that packed the auditorium of the school near the bottom of University Avenue, today I believe the city's evening school. Both sides presented their views. I got up and verbally banged the heads of both sides together. The listeners were very enthusiastic in their response, and the strike was settled very, very shortly. I'm afraid that we have a situation, and frankly, I just don't know what to do on the time problem. During the strikes, and on a number of other occasions, organizations of listeners came into being. Invariably, they collapsed for want of ongoing interest when the particular crisis was over. The crisis of 1999 created an entirely new situation. It was long, deep, and marked by unprecedented events, shutdown of the station by the National Board, and police action, including arrests on the demand of the board, which threatened to sue the city of Berkeley if the police did not open access to the building. That access was blocked by an extraordinary phenomenon, Camp KPFA, in which listeners, very largely young people of color and even the homeless, although I know of one elderly white woman, kept a 24-hour-per-day vigil, setting up tents and using sleeping bags. This action by listeners had an immediate effect upon programming. The young people of color, including not only the black and Spanish-speaking and Indian groups who live everywhere in our country, but Pacific Islanders, whose very presence reminded us that the California coast is an exceptional place, wanted to be able to present their cultures and their concerns and the happenings in their communities on the air. The degree to which that is now the case is a direct measure, good and bad, of the extent to which station management has taken these demands into consideration. The overall impact of that crisis brought about something new. The listenership wanted to have an ongoing instrument through which their desires could be transmitted to station management and reflected in what could be put on and heard over the air. This has been effectuated by the provision in the new bylaws that all Pacifica stations have listener station boards instead of listener advisory boards. What is really new is that these new boards enjoy some actual power, and that paid staff, unpaid staff, and listeners, being part of a single board, learn to make policy together. This is where the difficulties have arisen that necessitated this forum. There is a group best called entrenched staff. These are fundamentally long-term paid people. The group also includes some unpaid staff who feel dependent upon the paid people for access to airtime, as well as the everyday envelope stuffing and telephone answering kind of activities essential to the station's functioning and its fundraising. Together, they are a disciplined voting bloc that has prevented the station board from being more than the advisory board that previously existed. I offered my thoughts on this during audience input time at the March meeting in Berkeley of the National Board. These words were greeted with the greatest enthusiasm by the listeners in attendance. I quote, "I believe the biggest problem facing the new National Board in accomplishing anything whatever,
1 minute,
particularly in programming, is breaking the stranglehold that senior paid staffs now have on the stations. In the case of KPFA, which I know best, these were militant activist people when first hired as youths. Today, however, in late middle age, their main consideration is holding their jobs. As a result, they fear change. They behave as though they own the stations. At KPFA, their conduct recently caused the resignation of its new manager, Gus Newport, an African-American whose earlier tenure as the city's mayor contributed to his being called the People's Republic of Berkeley. The new board must behave in a manner making it clear that it, not the senior paid staff, runs Pacifica and its stations, or it will accomplish nothing."
Time. I have not...
to tell you, I'm not going to take over here, that I simply did not at all cover the second subject, which was the matter of the fire and the band.
Right. Everyone just gets 10 minutes, so that's a way to be fair with everyone. We're at the 8:30 mark right now, and do folks want to take a second just to kind of stretch and fiddle around for a little bit? Nope, just keep going? Okay, just keep going. No, let's not. I don't know. Voting is terribly overrated. No. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. Okay, now we're at the question and comment period. Now, there is one thing that I did fail to mention before, and I think this is important for us free speech addicts, okay? Everyone is going to get 2 minutes either for a question or for a comment. If you take longer than that, our sound person is instructed to pull the mic. And we're doing that because we want to get people to kind of get accustomed to making it, to get, you know, cut straight to your comments so that we can all respect people's time. It's not intended to be disrespectful, it's just that people need to get home to their families and their loved ones and whatnot. So if you can please come up to the speaker right here, to the microphone. And I understand there was some magic that we needed to do with the microphone. What was it?
I think there's a switch that says P for power. Oh, he's right there.
Can you tell we're radio people?
Can you all hear me? My name is Larry Bensky. I've been at KPFA in one guise or another since 1969. Those of you who have an issue with that, I'd be happy to discuss it with you, as I do every Sunday morning on the air, and via hundreds of emails all week long. On November 5th, 5 days ago, I started getting emails from various people indicating that they had serious concerns about the voting process and the possibility of electoral fraud in the recently concluded election. I answered a lot of them. People sent me more stuff. I started looking for a way to bring this to the air, to National Pacifica, which is one of the things that I've done for the last 30 years. At 6 o'clock this morning, I began a series of conversations with people in Ohio about a forum, two forums that are taking place this coming Saturday and next Monday in Columbus around the issues of electoral fraud called by citizens groups in Ohio. By about an hour ago, I have now with about 70-75% certainty that Pacifica Radio nationwide and KPFA here will be carrying the Citizens Electoral Fraud Commission's from an African-American church in Columbus, Ohio, on Saturday for 3 hours nationwide. When people are elected to community college boards, they do not assume that they can go into every classroom and teach Spanish or nursing or auto mechanics. When people are elected to community library boards, they do not assume that they can go to the librarian's office and say exactly which books can be ordered. When people are elected to community boards of many institutions, and we do have such elections, they do not assume that that election empowers them to run the practical elements of the institution. And if KPFA's local station board tries to decide that that's what it's elected to do,
time,
it may well go into the operating room of this community hospital that it's been elected for and pick up some scalpels. It may well go into the classrooms and decide that it can teach auto mechanics.
Everyone has 2 minutes.
But it will.
2 minutes. No. Okay. We have to keep our comments to 2 minutes. It's the fair way to go. And the other thing that I'm going to ask is that people just be respectful. If you're not willing to do that, you're going to have to go ahead and take it outside. Okay, we will ask both of you to leave right now. Joseph? Okay, this is exactly the kind of stuff that we're talking about, and I'm going to let you know right now that I personally, as moderator here, will not tolerate disrespect from the panelists, from the people that are asking the questions, from anybody else here in the audience. It becomes a waste of time. We'll end the forum now. People did not come here to hear other people fight. Okay? Straight up. Next.
Next. Someone else up? Okay. I'm going to have to ask you to leave now. I will ask you to leave now, and I will ask you to be escorted out of the building. So who wants to take the microphone next? Okay. Can I have, what I don't want is anyone to be yelling or screaming. It's not appropriate. You know? We have children in the audience. Okay, next. Thank you. We have children in the audience. Next, please. I wanted to let people know that Les Radke is going to be handling our microphone. So, Les, why don't you go ahead, stay right there. Raise your hand. Les, you, raise your hand. And give the microphone back to the woman right here. She's not finished with her comments right there. There we go. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, this is very brief. What I'd like to know is this. I hope there's no conflict about this. Obviously, the new manager will have certain duties in connection with the staff. I'm not clear what they are. Also, I'm wondering if that's conflicting with the board supervision of the staff. It seems it's very unclear, and I just wondered about that.
Okay. Reva, why don't you go ahead and take that question?
The board does not supervise the staff. The general manager is in charge through departments of the staff. The only staff that the board has direct responsibility, oversight for is the general manager. We don't supervise the staff. We have direct relationship with the general manager.
All right. Next up. We're going to ask the people queue themselves up if it's possible, if they're able to queue themselves up on the line here. Next, please state your name as well.
My name is Jane Jackson. I'm presently on the board and running for re-election. I have a question for the audience that I asked at a similar forum on Monday, and got a goose egg answer. Has anyone received a ballot?
No.
Then I would ask yet again that those with airtime, instead of shaking us up to get our ballots in before it's too late, how about letting us know that for whatever reason, don't get too upset yet. We don't know of anybody who has the ballots. Thank you.
Okay, are you done with your comment?
I had
one. Okay, good. All right, we can, the next up, please. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Lorenzo Garcia. As an apprentice 12 years ago, when the apprenticeship just began as a concept for women and people of color, back then there was a threat to the different departments. People thought that women and people of color wanted to take over the station. Not true. All we wanted was inclusion. We just wanted to be a part of it. And that inclusion seems to be more important today than ever before. Part two of the same question. I'm listening to KPFA today, and I love the station dearly. But when I hear marathons that are reaching $1 million a shot, I wonder how the Hard Knock Radio or the Onda Bajitas can keep up raising their share of the dollars that other popular, more affluent programs have, wealthier listeners. And my only concern, is that a concern? Is that an issue? And if it is, maybe we need to have some kind of advisory board that can sit in on that and provide some kind of answers.
Well, who would like to take? I just want to make one thing clear, is that you can take up to 2 minutes for the comment, but you don't have to take up the whole 2 minutes. We have lots of people that are online, and we're on the line, and we're also getting closer to the end. Who wants to take that question? Susan Stone?
Fundraising is a collective effort. If we put a dollar value in every show, and in fact goals have been retired for many of the shows, I think we'd all crumble under the burden of trying to make our goals. Speaking for a long-running series of shows that are fantastic but have been cut back to half an hour, to do a three-minute plug, for example, to ask for support for a half-hour show is very difficult. You barely get the content out before you're saying, buy it. And Fundrive is hard because we don't want to sound like we're a marketplace. We don't take commercial dollars the rest of the year, and during Fundrive it's very difficult to have premium-driven shows because it sounds like we've gone to the warehouse and we're becoming a retailer, and it's very, very difficult, the whole concept. But definitely for those shows who would otherwise crumble if they had to have tremendous goals to reach that million dollars, it is always a collective effort. We are deeply grateful to The Morning Show, which has extraordinary fundraising power, and Flashpoints, and many of the music shows, and Democracy Now!, but we all work together on it. We couldn't survive otherwise.
Okay, next up.
Yes, please give me a minute warning when that... Yeah, 1 second. Please give me a minute warning when that's appropriate. My name is Joseph Anderson, often better known as Joseph from Berkeley. And first of all, I'd like to apologize to you, Solange. I have great respect for you. But sometime a brother got to draw a line. And, you know, I find it troubling. I'm going to preface my original comment by saying I find it troubling that often the people who adamantly and arrogantly call for respect at KPFA the greatest are those very people who violate that. They violate that. They violate that on their Sunday program when they want to talk longer than everybody else, but then they cut other people off, are rude to people, disparage the viewpoints of people other than their own. They are the people who, here at this forum, that's the forum for a pacifist station, comes down the line and challenges someone standing in line to duke it out outside. I mean, how adolescent and immature is that?
Okay, can we refocus here, please? Thank you.
So they are also the people who call many of you in the audience who actually want listener control through an elected democratic process over the station, Stalinists. These are the people who sit around and hypocritically call for respect. My other comment, my original comment, was that...
1 minute.
Thank you. I would like to see KPFA put more of the community back into community radio, as one of the people on the panel mentioned. And I feel that there's not enough of that. I mean, people like myself who've definitely learned how to break into the call-in line can get on, you know, when we feel strongly enough. But it shouldn't have to come to that. There should be more opportunity for community voices to be heard, especially on call-ins on KPFA radio. I think that KPFA should challenge the Democrats as well as the Republicans. And during this last election cycle, KPFA became the West Coast Democrat Party headquarters for public relations. I think that there should be a true alternative, an alternative radio, and that we should challenge the Democrats and not become Air America.
Time.
The only people that have done this have been Davey D and Dennis Bernstein on KPFA.
I wanted to let people know that right now I'm going to have to actually put a limit on the queue on the line there because we're getting pretty close to 9 o'clock. So this is going to be the woman there in the red is going to have to be the last person right now because we're getting pretty close to 9 o'clock. Next up.
Okay, my name is Jeffrey Blankford. I was the founder of Save KPFA in 1993 and a co-founder of Take Back KPFA in 1995. Thank you. I just want to correct something. Larry Bensky gave the impression that the local station board was the one that made the decision to change the time of Democracy Now! It was the program council that made the decision, approved by then station manager Gus Newport, who, when Gus Newport left, that was overturned by interim station manager Jim Bennett with the support of the entrenched staff, which Bill talked about. The entrenched staff that collaborated with Pat Scott throughout the firing, went on the air, congratulated the firing of Bill Mandel, and said everything was better. Welcome Jerry Brown. But in fact, one of the problems, as Joseph just mentioned, is the Democratic Party has had a free ride on KPFA for years. You never hear the most powerful Democrat in Congress, Nancy Pelosi, ever challenged on KPFA, or Barbara Boxer, or Tom Lantos. These are powerful people. Here we are, KPFA, and they get a free ride. The Oakland Raiders got a free ride when they bankrupted Oakland, and you went into KPFA, and there were stacks of Oakland Raider posters. You never heard any criticism of this. The fact is, when it comes to local politics, we have, what's this guy, Don Parada? this guy, Ignacio de la Fuentes, these are corrupt politicians, but you'll never find their corruption described or discussed on KPFA. Local politics, the Democrats get a free ride. This is just one of the problems I've had with the station for many, many years. It really has to be dealt with, because just listen to the station, and when you hear any kind of comment about Barbara Boxer or Nancy Pelosi or Tom Bates or whatever his wife's name is, you know, they switch offices back and forth. This is something that KPFA is a radical station should pay attention to and not be a mouthpiece Democratic Party. Thank you very much.
Also, I wanted to let you know that if you have any specific questions for the panelists, you can go ahead and ask those as well. Next up.
I don't know that I have questions, but I do want...
Or comments.
I have opinions. I'm coming to it. My name is Bishara Kostandi. I was forgetful. Anyway, I think that the problem, basically, as a station specifically, is that we don't have a vision for it. So far, I don't know, since 99, 95, whenever you want to start the historic period, there is no vision of who do we stand for. And that's why the Democratic Party comes in and goes out as it wills. And that's why people like the example we just saw here find it okay for themselves to challenge somebody to go outside. Because over the time, opportunism has really been the rider in the station. Really the rider in the station. I don't care about friendships, because it's not about me and my friend. This is about justice in the community. When I don't hear anything about West or East Oakland, when I hear that the Palestinians and somebody in the board laughs and says we're going to turn Palestine into a playground or a theme park, when I hear people telling an Iranian board member, go tell this to your terrorist mother, or somebody carrying the noose as if they're the only victims in the world. How dare they do these things
when
we are all victims of injustice?
1 minute.
1 minute, fine. The only issue that is not being discussed tonight is the issue of class. And after this election where they have taken everything, and there is nothing left for us, if we still continue thinking in the old way, we're going to keep running into these problems. Until we really start thinking about class and what it means to our programs. And I'm not using an empty word here, but in America, you have to keep hitting the hammer on the wall a million times before somebody wakes up. I am sorry to tell you as a Palestinian, okay? And lastly, as a Palestinian, I want to tell you, I will not accept to hear any more comments about the wall as being a barrier or a security fence. I will not listen to racism that's coming using the main media about Darfur, like Arabs want to kill blacks. Okay?
Time.
You got my message.